Today, I brought a couple of rocks for you to see. This picture that is almost there. We'll get it. It's coming. Leah's working on it. I brought a picture of two rocks. There we go. Excellent. That's early service. We didn't get there. Their sermon is longer because I had to describe what the pictures were. I took a picture. Those two rocks. One of them, the one on the left, I'm going to save the surprise for a few minutes. The first time I went to Israel was in 1996, when I was still serving as your pastor here. I've been blessed to be able to return a number of times since then. I like bringing people over there and just the expressions. The aha moments are endless, and it's absolutely a blast to see that in folks. 7 years on a pilgrimage, I brought those rocks back home. In Israel, just to the east of Jerusalem, and I mean not even a mile to the east is the town of Bethany. Just on the outskirts today, the Judean wilderness begins. You can go downhill from Jerusalem, walking 2 days to finally get to Jericho. Go beyond Jericho just a little bit. The Jordan River is right there. You can go up on the other side today. And that Judean wilderness still goes on. That's a picture I took on that trip 7 years ago. We're standing high on a hill. It's a little hard to see. Off in the distance is the Jordan River Valley. Up closer is billions of rocks. Nothing much there at all. There are down in the valley that's in shadows on this picture is trees. If you're in the middle of a desert and there are trees and scrub brush down low, what tells you is there? I heard it. I heard it from not nearly enough people. What's down there?
Water.
You got it. Water's there. This is the only path going up to Jerusalem from Jericho that has multiple sources of water, because it's a 2-day hike uphill too. Undoubtedly, Jesus would have walked on that path down below. We're in air-conditioned buses up on the road high up. It was wonderful where we went. I didn't want to go on that walk. Out in the distance, Jericho. Beyond that, the Jordan River. Undoubtedly, too, that part of the Jordan River where John the Baptist baptized. There's one word that we think of with John the Baptist summarizing his admonition to everybody that you don't hear that word anywhere but in church. What's that word? What was that word?
Repent.
You bet. Repent. John said, repent. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and vow to turn away from that sinful behavior. Repent! The highfalutin words we hear in the Bible bear fruit in keeping with repentance. What does that mean? Be more like Christ. Repent! Don't imagine that because you were raised in the church, because you've got a great mother or father who taught you when you were small about the love and the wonder of our Lord. Or because you're a good person and only have good people as your friends. Don't imagine that these things get you anywhere. The crowds around John the Baptist were Jews. They were kind of proud of the fact that Abraham was their forefather. And that's good until it gets excessive. And that's what John was trying to tell them. Repent from it being excessive. He sees the people. He looks up just a little bit. He sees those rocks, billions and billions of rocks, and says, God could raise up new children of Abraham as numerous as the rocks in the desert. Here's that rock that was on the left of the picture a moment ago. Kind of rough. I picked it up at the top of the hill where I took that picture. It's windblown. Hardly ever, probably even saw a drop of rain. Just like billions of other rocks. How useful is a rock? How useful can a rock be? Okay, everybody, y'all Bible scholars out here, I'll find out how well pastors taught you the Bible. What's in 1 Samuel chapter 17? You want to know something? Weird as it sounds, I have used this illustration before in two different congregations, two ladies. Okay, men, you think you're great. Two ladies. I get to this point, ask them 1 Samuel 17, and they both go, David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Let me read some verses. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah. And drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. I took this picture on that same trip. It was in November. So that now is an agricultural field. I don't know. I doubt they were raising crops back in David's day. Off to the right side was the mountain where the Philistines were encamped, the valley between them, and what you see in front of you is kind of looking to, from the north to the southeast, and it's the mountain where Saul and his people were. You might be able to make out that there's a line of trees along the bottom of that hill. What do we say? If there are trees, there is along the eastern edge of the plain is a creek, a stream that flowed. David was in that mountain, stepped down, stepped into the creek, looks down, finds five smooth stones, drops them in his pouch, continues to walk out onto the plain, reaches into his pouch, pulls out one of the five, puts it in his sling, and sinks that stone deep into the forehead of Goliath. Here's a smooth stone. It's not the same smooth stone because I like to give these stones away. When I went to Israel that time, I didn't bring but this stone back from the top of the mountain. I brought a couple of dozen of these because I wanted to go talk to people about going to Israel. So I brought a bunch of these. Pastor gets it when we're done. If he doesn't want it, Ken Welsh gets it. It's kind of neat. The edges are all worn down here. This one's kind of rough. The edges are gone on this one. It's a smooth stone. How useful was the rock that David took out of the creek and sank into the forehead of Goliath? Saving Israel. You stop and think, that sounds okay. But imagine had that not happened. The Philistine army was superior to Saul's army and would have wiped out Saul's army. Then they'd have kept on going to the east. This little hamlet called Jerusalem was basically undefended, wiping them out. What would the world be like now? If all of that were true, what would the world be like now were it not for one stone? How useful is a rock? Do you remember when Jesus asked his disciples who he was? Throw in my plug. After service, we're going to have a pizza party. I expect everyone to stay. I'm buying the pizza. Nobody's laughing. Please stay. I'm going to show some slides. I'm going to show you a slide that I took up in Caesarea Philippi, way up north. And really just outside the town, north of the town in the foothills of Mount Hermon. There's a big grotto there where for 1,000, 2,000 years before Jesus, people had come to this holy ground to worship the god Pan. Pan, a word panoramic. It survives in English today. What's panoramic mean? You see everything. Pan was the god you could worship in your own way because that you define, you know, it was just very, very pagan. It was extremely rare for any observant Jew to go to such unholy land. And yet that's where Jesus and his disciples were when Jesus turns to the group and says, "Who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God." On that profession of faith, Peter, "I will build my church." He was called Simon, wasn't he? Where does Peter come from? The Greek word, I heard it. The Greek word, Petros, means rock. I bet he was a smooth stone. How useful is a rock? Remember Golgotha? It's just outside of the northern limits of Jerusalem in Jesus' day. Now it's kind of in there. It's a barren area. Not much can really grow there. You'll see it if you come to the slides. I've got that too. It's at the end of the road coming up from Jerusalem from the east. It's at the end of the road that comes down from the north. And there you go into Jerusalem. Today, there's a bus stop there. A bus transportation center. It's a big, it's more than just a stop. It's still a crossroads of people. barren, rocky in Jesus' day outside the city walls. Probably hundreds of people were crucified there by the Romans, criminals. Here our Savior earned forgiveness of sins for all mankind. From Adam and Eve to the very last person that he creates, it is here that our Savior earned your forgiveness of sins and mine. But if that were the end of the story, if Golgotha were the last thing we hear about, and Jesus only died on that Friday we some way call good, St. Paul says that our faith would be foolishness. Not far from Golgotha was a tomb. This is called the Garden Tomb. You can see it today. This is what Jesus' tomb would have looked like, where nobody presumes to say this is his tomb. There's another big church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that's there, where they still say that's the spot. I don't care. This spot, Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Jesus' tomb was near Golgotha. The people who loved him, the people who cared about him, went to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb and laid him there. 3 days later, they go back to prepare him for proper burial, and the stone is rolled away. He begins showing himself to others alive. A rock like this from the wilderness can be useful, but it's untested, it's untried, it's not much of anything yet. This rock from the Valley of Elah is worn smooth. It may very well have begun like this one did, but tumbled in a brook, banged around other rocks, it's been tested, it's been tried, its edges are worn smooth. Where are you? Are you more like that untested, untried rock? Maybe a little hard-headed? I can be that way. When God's word is heard but not taken in, repent and return to being the rock that has at least some of its edges worn down. Return to being that rock whose faith is clear and obvious to all. Be the rock who knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is not just a made-up God sitting in the back of a grotto somewhere. Be the smooth rock, the instrument of God to be used in ways perhaps only he sees. Who would have thought that just moments before, one of the rocks in the bottom of the creek would be picked up and slay Goliath? Who would have thought? But in the hands of David, who was himself in the hands of the Lord, who is our rock, join with others as a rock in a community solidly, even defiantly, aligned with God and his will. As numerous as the rocks in the wilderness, as numerous as the children of Abraham, join with other rocks whose hope of heaven rests solely on the forgiveness that Jesus earned as we strive to be more like Him each day. Always for His glory and for the sakes of those whom He has created, you and me. Amen. May the peace of God not defy our understanding, but be something that we contemplate and which becomes core to who we are. May His peace keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.